Okay, we are starting with Tehillim Kuf Yud Chet 118. That's the second one on the first page of what I handed out right here. And we already did the first pasuk in that particular one of the Tehillim. So we're going to start now with pasuk Bet. All right, so the cast of characters in Bet, Gimel, and Dalet are extremely familiar to us. How so? So if you look, in Bet, Gimel, and Dalet, we have Yisrael, we have Beit Aharon, and we have Yirei Hashem. Now, you may remember that we saw the same groups of Yisrael, Beit Aharon, and Yirei Hashem not that long ago when we did Tehillim Kuf Tet Vav 115, which some of you may have or you may have at home. So clearly this is a parallel of sorts to Yisrael, Beit Aharon, and Yirei Hashem. So that's an interesting theme. So David HaMelech is re-looking at another aspect of Yisrael, Beit Aharon, and Yirei Hashem. Before, when we did that, those three groups, it was Batach Bashem, Bidchu Bashem, and Bidchu Bashem. So it was Yisrael Batach Bashem, Beit Aharon Bidchu Bashem, and Yirei Hashem Bidchu Bashem. So now what we're really doing is something else. What we're talking about is giving thanks. Okay? And let's take a look at that. So it says, Yomer Na Yisrael, okay, give thanks, because the word Na, Nun Aleph, as we examined last week, refers to a sense of Hodu Lashem. So, Yomar Na Yisrael, give thanks now, the entire Jewish people. What we could call Knesset Yisrael, right? The trans-historical entity of the Jewish people. It's interesting, by the way, when I translate Knesset Yisrael as a trans-historical entity, I thought it was my own summary of Rav Soloveitchik's way of explaining the term. And Rabbi Edelstein told me that he'd actually seen the Rav himself use the phrase for Knesset Yisrael as trans-historical entity. I had never seen the Rav say that, so I felt very, very good that I was mechavein to my Rebbe's explanation on that. I had only seen the Rav talk about Knesset Yisrael in terms of Ivrit. So it was good that I picked up on the English for what the Rav had in mind. At any rate, we're talking here about the totality of the Jewish people. Now, if that's totality of the Jewish people, like I said a moment ago, it's trans-historical. So it's past, present, and future. So that's the idea of the Yisrael we're talking about. So just like before, when we learned about Yisrael Batach Bashem and Kuf Tet Vav, so that was the same idea, the trans-historical nation of the Jewish people. Okay, so again, what all three of these psukim have in common is the word na, which is a sense of hodu Lashem. Okay, and we're going to see that in each instance. So yomer na Yisrael, so say thanks or give thanks, the Jewish people, all of the Jewish people for all time. Why? Ki le'olam chasdo. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness is everlasting, forever. Okay? So that's the first one of Bet. And then we move to the second, which is called in modern Hebrew the Sug, the second category. Think Venn diagrams, all the way back to your junior high school or high school days, whenever you learned about Venn diagrams. So we have the first big one is all the Jewish people. Then there's a box within that, all right? The subset would be Beit Aharon. And it's the same idea. Yamru na Beit Aharon, give thanks, Beit Aharon, inclusive you have the Levim, the Kohanim. Okay, why? Kilelum Chasdo, because Hashem's kindness is forever. And last but not least, we have Yirei Hashem, just like we had in Kuftet Vav. Now, I pointed out that the categories of Beit Aharon, which for argument's sake we're going to suggest is referencing the Kohanim and the Levim, that's not a self-chosen status. That's a birth status. Okay, Yisrael is a birth status. Your mother is Jewish, you're Jewish. Or, of course, you could be a Ger Tzedek. But the number of, you know, Ger Tzedek is not very large in comparison to the overall body of the Jewish people. So we're going to look at it in a sense that Yisrael is a born status, Beit Aharon is a born status. However, Yirei Hashem is a chosen status. And it's not just simply something that we choose, but it's something that we have to work at in order to achieve. Okay? Okay. And Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem, right? It's a famous, famous pasuk. A song that you might have sung with your own children. Okay? You have to have Yirat Hashem. Now, the idea, of course, of being one of the Yirei Shemayim means that your sense of awe grows with you as you learn more and more. So in other words, the Yirat Shemayim that a second grader has should be very, very different than the Yirat Shemayim that you and I might have. Okay, it's the idea that it needs to grow with you. So that's one of the problems of a limited Jewish education, which of course can always be addressed. Okay, it's not a forever kind of situation, but sometimes if a person has a very, very limited Jewish education, okay, of whatever matter or whatever kind it might be, they don't grow. Their concepts of God, their concepts of Yira, their concepts of Ava don't necessarily grow. So what we can really say here is that you need to continue to learn in order to continue to grow. If you don't, in other words, it's like in the world of computers, okay, where what you put into the program is what you get out of the program. It's a slightly a more powerful sort of statement, which I'm going to leave out for right now, okay, because it's not appropriate for what we're doing. But basically, if you don't put in effort, you're not going to have reward. L'fum, you know, schara agra. That's the kind of idea. Okay, so we continue. The next pasuk is a very fascinating pasuk, I believe. Min ha-metzah karati Hashem. Anybody have a suggestion? That means from the straits, right? I called to you, right? God. Okay, anyone have a suggestion what that sounds a little bit like to you?
It's David HaMelech when he's running.
Okay, it's going to be David HaMelech when he's in trouble. Okay, that's true. But look at the first word, min.
One.
Min means from, okay? So think about what's the most, perhaps the most common one of the Tehillim that we say when we're in trouble. We don't say, min ha-metzar karati Hashem. What do we say? Min ha-ma'amakim, right? Karati Hashem. So it's very, very similar to that. So I would say, if you're looking for meta-themes in Sefer Tehillim, okay, and a very prominent theme in Hallel, which is, of course, why we're doing what we're doing, not just looking at Sefer Tehillim, it's the idea of being in straits. It's the idea of being on occasion in the depths and yet rising above it. And that's really what David is giving us. David is being a great Rebbe. He's being a great Rebbe by example. Okay, because everyone knows that if a rabbi on a Shabbat morning or a Rebbe in any kind of class simply says there, okay, guys, be frum. Okay? Is that going to accomplish anything at all? No. But look what David is doing. He's telling us, in my own life, mina meitzar karati ka. I called for, out of the depths, right out of the straits, okay? The narrow straits, the narrowest straits that one could imagine, I called to Hashem. And, you know, it was desperate times. It called for desperate measures. It was a terrible time in my life. And yet, anani b'merchavka, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered me in a vast expanse. In other words, I didn't see what was available to me. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, Hashem opened up my eyes and He showed me that the smallest, most narrow, okay, chasm in which I found myself, okay, through Hashem's help, it could, even that space could be transformed, okay, into a merchav ka. So I don't know if any of you have ever been up to Cornell, okay, in Ithaca. So if you've seen the gorges, okay, of Ithaca, so some of those gorges are very, 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 very tight, okay, because when the river flowed through, okay, it didn't necessarily in that particular section make a very wide thing. So sometimes, if you're a little claustrophobic, you feel totally blocked in. So when I think about Mina Meitzar Karati Hashem, that's what I think about. I think that's the physical representation of the metaphor that I believe David HaMelech is employing. Okay. But no matter how close the straits, no matter how dangerous it was, Anani b'merchav ka, Kodesh Baruch Hu answered me as if it was a vast expanse. Hashem li, okay? Hashem, so what's David HaMelech saying when he says Hashem li? So literally, Hashem is for me. Okay, it's as if he said Hashem bishvili in modern Hebrew. You wouldn't say it in Tanakh Hebrew. Okay, so in other words, what's David talking about when he says Hashem li? What would you guys say he's talking about? What's the key word that comes to mind? So the word is relationship, a kirva. David is telling the world and the Jewish people for all time that I have this personal relationship with Hashem, something that we as his heirs in a spiritual sense, okay, since I'm obviously not from Shevet Yehuda, right? I'm from Shevet Levi. Okay, but nonetheless, he's telling all the Jewish people, that's the kind of relationship that you need to cultivate. And as we all know, there's no such thing as a relationship that happens, I use a yeshivish word for a moment, memela, by itself. All relationships, whether they're friendship, whether they're spousal, whether they're, you know, child, grandchild, all relationships take effort. So Hashem li is that David is telling you, I have this relationship, and because of the relationship that I've developed, it's not I feel or even I believe, two different kinds of words, but I know. A very big difference. Okay? So Hashem li, I know that Hashem is with me, and therefore, lo ira, okay, I will not be afraid. Anyone want to hazard a guess what that sounds like? Very, very much. Tell you, it's something we sing in shul. What's it sound like?
I don't know.
Yeah, Hashem Eli, v'lo ira, exactly. So obviously, Hashem Alai V'lo Ira was taken from here. You know, it's you can't get it backwards. I'll tell you a very cute story. one of my first years of teaching history, someone came to me, a young man came to me, and he said, "You're the new history teacher, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You think you know about history?" I said, "I know a little bit." And he goes, "Look at this map. What's the name of this river?" And I said, "It's a Hudson River." He goes, "Yeah. And look up here. What's the name of that bay?" I said, "It's Hudson Bay." And he goes, "Rabbi, ain't that something? Rock Hudson's dead for 2 years. And already they're naming bays and river after him." So you got to make sure that you go in the correct historical order. Adon Olam is based on this. This isn't based, of course, on Adon Olam. So there, now, fascinatingly, think about the power of this particular one of the Tehillim, and think about how our recent relatives, in many cases, got through the Shoah. Hashem li lo ira. Look at the next words. They, in a sense, they send shivers down your spine. Ma yaseh li adam. What can man ever do to me? Right? Because in a very real sense, as long as I have this special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, that's never going to stop. Okay, do you remember when you were young and your mom, well, Havdil, your mom, it's usually your mom would say to you, "When you learn something, no one can ever take it away from you. It belongs to you, and it makes you who you are." That's what my mother said to me, right? As you can probably tell by the way I'm telling you it. Okay? And therefore, it's very important that you learn this. Okay? So, Lahavdil, think about this. If you know that Hashem's with you, lo yira, and no one, okay, they can do anything and everything to us physically, but we know that we're going to ultimately stand up to it, if not in this world, in the world to come. It's a very important message, especially post Tisha B'Av. Okay, Hashem li ba'ozrai. Hashem is with me, with my helpers. Now, we live in a world where we never quite know who those helpers necessarily are. Sure, first line is your spouse. Who's after that? Okay? You know, the old line, when you have money, you have lots of friends. Okay? But, and what happens if it's not the case? Right? So you don't really know who's there for you until someone stands up and says, "You know what? I'm with you, come what may." Okay? "I'm with you, come what may." And in a sense, it's not just them, but it's also, as you see here, it's Be'ezrat Hashem. So when they're there with you, Hashem is with you as well. But what happens if you're all alone? So Hashem alive, lo ira, right? So it's beautiful that there are helpers, but in a sense, what are they really doing? They're doing Ma'aseh Hashem. That's what Chesed is. You're representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world when you do authentic Chesed. Va'ani ere'eh b'sonai. Okay? So Hashem's with me. I've got my helpers. Okay? And I'm going to see what? Not just that I'm going to. Literally, the translation's this. Va'ani ere'eh b'sonai. And I will see my enemies. But what does that really mean? I will be successful against my enemies because I have my Ozrai, I have my helpers that are doing Hashem's work by my side. Okay? Now, think about it this way. An Azer Connecto. Okay? If a husband is lucky enough to have a loving spouse. Okay? And maybe not. So it doesn't say it beferish in the Chumash, but an Ezer Kanegda. If a woman's lucky enough to have the kind of spouse who helps her, Okay? So that's one way to look at it. But again, the circle gets broader. But no matter what, no one is... I go toe-to-toe, so to speak, in quotation marks, with anyone, because Hashem is with me, my friends are with me, people I care about. Okay, next. I had translation problems with the next word. Not the word tov, but the word lachasot. What an unusual word. I didn't know how unusual it was till I looked it up. Guess what? It appears 3 times in all of Tanakh. So it wasn't so bad to say to myself, what in the world does that mean? It actually means to seek shelter. Okay? And the 2 times where it's found in Sefer Tehillim, 2 of the 3, are right here. Tov lachasot, tov lachasot. It's good to seek shelter. Okay? Now, fascinatingly enough, we know that Rut HaMoaviah was the great, I'm not sure if it's 3 greats or 2 greats. I'm really bad when it comes to genealogy. But she was at least the great-great-grandmother of David HaMelech. The 3rd time in Tanakh where the word Lachasot is used is by Rut. That's very interesting. Right? Now, when is this used? Boaz says to her, let me read the pasuk. This happens to be in Megillat Rut, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet. So Boaz says to Rut, Yishalem Hashem Poalich. Hashem should pay you in reward for your deeds. V'tehi mas kurech shalema. And your payment should be complete. Me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael. From Hashem, the God of Israel. Asher bat, where you, before whom you have come, lachasot, to seek shelter, tachat kanafav, underneath, metaphorically, his wings. So it's used there before, of course, Sefer Tehillim, because, again, like I said before, you got to get your dates right, because she's the great-great-grandmother of David. David picks up on that word, lachasot, that was said by his great-great-grandmother, right here. And let's see what he says. Tov lachasot ba'Hashem. Okay? It's good to seek shelter in Hashem. Okay? Mivtoach ba'Adam. Then to trust in man. Okay? Now, man here is the proverbial everyman. Okay? But you might have thought, wait a minute, hold on. What about the strong people, the masters of industry, the J.P. Morgans of the world, okay? For example, what about them? Could I have trust in them? Says David, no. Tov lachasot b'Hashem. It's still better to seek shelter with Hashem, miptoach b'medivim, than to trust even in the princes. So what does that remind you of? Another one of Tehillim that we did together. Excuse me. Which was what? Al tiftechu b'nedivim. Don't put your trust in the princes. Tehillim kuf mem vav gimel. So it was very, as I was preparing, all of these connections came very clear to me. That this, again, this is obviously one of David's meta themes. Okay? I shared with you a few weeks ago what Rav Soloveitchik said. He said, you can never, ever, ever have faith in a human being. And it's difficult enough to have trust. Right? But faith is impossible. Okay? Trust needs to be earned and continuously rebuttressed, because it's a dynamic. It's never static. If it stays static, what happens to it? It dies. It dies. So like a relationship, it's dynamic and has to continue to grow. Okay, but nonetheless, if your choice is God, man, any variety of man, I think it's a pretty easy choice, right? Tov l'chasot b'Hashem. It's better to seek shelter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now, David talks about the time in his life when he was personally surrounded by great danger. For example, one would assume that the Plishtim were not particularly thrilled with David after he killed Goliath. Right? For example. Or the various people in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it was at that time. It was Eretz Yisrael who sought to destroy David. Okay? So, that's why he says here, Kol Goyim Sevavuni. All the nations of the world surrounded me. But I was not afraid. Why? V'shem Hashem Ami Lame. Okay? Ami Lam, excuse me. Because I knew, Ani Akaret Otam. I knew that I could destroy them. Why? Because what is David seeing himself as? Ever Hashem. So, the strength was not coming from him, but the strength was given to him from Kodesh Baruch Hu to wipe out the enemies of David, who ultimately were one and the same, the enemies of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? And we have this Ki Ami, let me just take my glasses off for a sec. Yeah, Ki Ami Lam. We have Ki Ami Lam not once, but it's in Pasuk Yud, it's in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it's in Pasuk Yud Bet. So I think it's legitimate to say that this is a real theme that David is discussing, David is presenting. Now, I don't think anybody here was cognitively aware in 1948, or if any of us were even born in 1948. Okay? But if you think about Israel's condition in May of 1948, or in 56, or in 67, or in 73, or in 82, or certainly now, what does Iran proclaim to the world? That they have thousands and thousands and thousands of missiles. Okay, and we're not talking about, you know, the backyard variety type. We're talking about missiles that were purchased from where? From Russia. Okay, by the way, an interesting note. Russia was just, it just happened today, so it's interesting how everything dovetails. Russia just announced that it was given landing and takeoff rights in Iran to bomb Syrian rebels. Because Russia is backing Assad, Yamach Shemal, okay? And Russia needed a place where they could land and take off. And who's their big friend? Iran. So you can best believe that, you know, landing and takeoff rights didn't come cheap. It added to, of course, Iran's, military hardware. I have no doubt in my mind. I mean, we'll find that out years hence, but we can figure it out pretty quickly. All right? So, not only, when we say Kol Goyim Sevavuni, it's not, in a sense, to use a word that was used by Netanyahu, this is an existential condition under which we Jews live. Right? Remember him when he used that phrase. This is the even though we have Medinat Yisrael, which I've said on many occasions, really quoting my Rebbe, that it's a matana gemura, it's a complete gift from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, when else in the whole world, said Rav Soloveitchik, did Russia and America agree about anything? But Russia, right, gave its support for the establishment of Medinat Yisrael. Okay, and no doubt it's a great matana, but nonetheless, here we have this matana that, if you look at it logically, okay, as I mean, Israel is so small that even the comedians joke, right? It's smaller than New Jersey. And guess what? It really is. Okay, and we're surrounded by hundreds of millions of our enemy. Okay, and again, everything in a sense dovetails. What happened recently at the Olympics, time after time, when there were Israeli athletes, and the way the games went, there were Israeli athletes and there were Arab athletes. Whenever the Israeli athletes won, like in terms of the international order of things, they went to shake people's hands. Time after time, their hands were not shaken by Arab nation athletes. We weren't allowed on buses, and on and on and on. Kol goyim sevavuni. But ultimately, we will be successful. B'shem Hashem, amilam. Okay, I know that ultimately I will best them. And David, of course, when he says I, he's not referring just to himself. He is referring, of course, to himself as a representative of the entire Jewish people. Okay? David was, as we said before, right? What did we say? Min ha-metzar karati Hashem. David was in trouble. Look at Yud Aleph. Sivavuni. Gam sivavuni. Okay? They encircled me. They surrounded me. Okay? You kind of think of a situation where perhaps you have several wagons, okay? It doesn't matter what time in history. I'm not going to talk about a particular time in history, but you have several wagons, in a sense, grouped together, carts, whatever it might be, and the enemy gets closer and closer and closer and closer. Sivavuni, gam sivavuni. Okay, they surrounded, they encircled me. B'shem Hashem ki amilam. But nonetheless, okay, through, again, shame, we all know means essence. Through Hashem's essence, I know that I will prevail. Okay? Now, I can speak very well about Savuni Kidvorim. I was surrounded as if by bees. When I was a young man, I had the misfortune, I was wearing shorts, I was barefoot, and I was with my sister, Aleha Shalom, and we were walking through the woods. And we had the misfortune of walking right through a hornet's nest that was in the leaves that we couldn't see. I was surrounded by bees. So for me, it's not a metaphor. I know what that looks like. And it looked like right out of the cartoon where, you know, the cartoons where there, you get this like group of bees and the sky darkens, especially when you're a little kid, and they're just sivavuni. Okay, so sabuni kidvarim, they surrounded me like bees. Da'achu ke'esh kotsim, but they were extinguished. Okay, it didn't just happen magically. It was because Hashem, again, Hashem alive lo ira, right? Says David earlier. Da'achu ke'esh kotsim, but they were extinguished. They were their fire of evil was put out as if it was a fire of mere twigs. Okay, we all know the difference between twigs, right? Kindling wood, right? And a real, you know, gesunte campfire. Okay, but no matter how powerful they thought, they were extinguished like kindling. Okay, why? So David, again, remember, this is, David was the Meshorer, like I've said several times already. He was the singer of Israel. He's repeating this over and over again. It's a refrain, right? B'shem Hashem ki amilam. I don't know what tune he used, and I don't have As many might attest, I don't have the musical ability to even imagine it. But suffice it to say, it's definitely a refrain. It's repeated over and over again. Okay? Next. Dacho dechitani. Okay? Linpol vashem azarani. Okay? So David is talking here about his enemies. You pushed me. Okay, and it's by the way, it's repeated, dacho dechitani. So it's not like a push like once, but you ceaselessly pushed me over whatever, trying to push me over whatever precipice there may have been. Linpo, you wanted me to be destroyed. You, my enemies, wanted this to happen. Okay, but Hashem. Azrani, but Hashem helped me. So, in a very real sense, right, in a very real sense, I think if you were looking for the meta themes that we've done so far, one of the things is David's very close personal relationship with Hashem. He doesn't just say, and I was saved. He doesn't say, I persevered, but notice how each time it's extremely personal. Vahashem Azrani. Okay, a very powerful idea. As such, Ozi Vizimrat Ka. Okay, now I have to tell you, I don't know in this case how the translator came up with the translation he came up with here. I would say this. Oziva Zimrat Ka, that Hashem is my strength and my what? My song. Okay? My victory song. Okay? So Hashem gives me, right, Ozi, from which of course we have the idea of Uzi in the modern Israeli army. Okay? But the idea of Ozi, my strength, the Zimrat Ka, and the song of Hashem, okay, is it's all, what is he basically saying? Me'et Hashem hayetazot hi niflot be'eneinu, which of course we're going to be getting to. But that's, you can see in a sense it's a symphony. All these, why these tehillim? Because they lead up to that. Lead up to that feeling, that not just a feeling, to that sense of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives. Vayhi li l'shua. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought me to a salvation. Okay? Or Hashem has become my salvation. Okay? Not, so the idea is that if Hashem is my song and he's my strength, so little wonder that the Meshorer, the singer of the Jewish people, would use the word song. Because how does David express himself? In song. So he but what he's really saying is, you know, it's like the bumper sticker. Wherever I am, you know, Israel is, whatever the bumper sticker says exactly, Israel is on my mind. You know, I stand with Israel wherever I may be. Okay? David is saying, no matter what I experience in my life, it's Zimrat Ka. So therefore, David is saying, my life, my existence, is a song of Hashem. It's the voice of Hashem. Okay? And he continues, V'kol rina, okay? It's a voice singing praise. My voice is a voice singing praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yoshua, okay? And salvation. Hashem Oshia, HaMelech Ya'anenu, V'yom Kareinu. Now, where is this Korina Yoshua, okay, being heard ceaselessly? Where is it being heard? Bo'ole tzaddikim, in the tents of the righteous. I couldn't help myself. I saw this idea of tzaddikim and in the Ohalim. How do we describe Yaakov Avinu as a youth? Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. Yaakov Avinu was a blameless, was a pure, was a perfect individual dwelling in tents. What does Rashi say the tents were? This is the Ohalo Shel Shem, the Ohalo Shel Ever. What do you mean the tent of Shem the Ever? So what are you talking about? So Ohalo in that case means the yeshiva. So where's one place that you're going to hear the voice of praises ceaselessly coming forth and a sense of salvation in HaKadosh, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bolei Tzadikim, where Torah is learned. So whether it's in our Beit Medrash, our Beit Knesset, or it's in a yeshiva with such a name as yeshiva, wherever you have people studying Torah, wherever you have people engaging in strengthening their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have Kol Rina V'Yoshua. Okay? Yamim Hashem Oseh Chayil. The right hand of Hashem. So symbolically, the right hand is the hand of strength. Because I guess it's just a matter really of Dibra HaTorah B'Lashem B'nei Adam. Because the majority of people are righties. As such, the majority of people's strength resides in their right hand. Okay? It's part, you know, I mean, I'm not a person who knows physiology all that well, but, you know, the simple explanation is that's the hand we use the most. That's the hand that the musculature is the most developed. Okay? So we, in a sense, in an anthropomorphic phrase, we attribute that to Hashem. Yamim, the right hand of Hashem, Oseh Chayil. It acts valiantly. So again, you can't see the word Chayil without thinking of Eshet Chayil. Right? Eshet Chayil miyimsa. Happens to be the very last chapter of Sefer Mishle. Okay? And what do you see? Hashem can act valiantly. Men as men, speaking gender, can act valiantly. And women can act valiantly, no less so. Eshet Chayil. So in a sense, a woman who acts with valor, a woman of valor, a woman acts valiantly, she's really ultimately emulating Kutcher Brichu. What a powerful idea, right? What a powerful, powerful idea. So, Yamim Hashem Romema, okay? Excuse me. Romema is like the word Ram, right? Shochinai Maram, right? V'kadoshimo, right? And Yoshev Al-Kisei Ram V'ni-sa, so it's exalted. The right hand, it's raised. The right hand of Hashem is exalted. Okay? Yamim Hashem Oseh Chayil. And again, it's the same idea. We just had exactly the same phrase. So I don't want to say it too often, but it's so clear. There's a refrain here. And the refrain changes depending on where we are. But again, you can hear David on, we call it his harp, his lyre, whatever it was, that he would sing these beautiful songs of praise to Hashem. Lo amut, okay, ki echya. I'm not going to die. No matter how dark the hour, as the phrase goes, the famous English phrase, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Lo amut ki echya. I'm not going to die, I'm going to live. Okay, why? Why? David isn't saying, because I have a lot of things to do. You know, I have to have my people talk to... No, it's not doing that. Why will he continue? Vyasa Parama Seka, so I can speak really. And what was David's real voice? Song. So when he says Asa Per, it really means he's going to sing. Right? And I will sing, I will speak, I will sing of the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And last but not least, we'll be stopping here with this particular pasuk. Okay, Yasur Yisrani Hashem. This is the idea of Musar. Okay, now when you're a kid, you don't really think that Musar is something that you're getting because, okay, the person who's giving it to you cares about you. You think it's the biggest pain in the neck humanly possible. Okay? But actually, as we know, as adults, you don't bother giving Musar to someone unless you very strongly care about them. Okay? And without Musar, how do you grow? How do you change? So, Yisur Yisrani Hashem. Hashem gave me Musar. Okay, listen, David, you didn't do this so well. Okay, you know that scene with you and Bathsheba in the beginning? It was not so I. Okay, and Natan HaNavi nailed him with that famous metaphor, right? Famous metaphor of the sheep and all of that. Okay, Hashem gave me Musar. However, what did David do when that Musar came and David said, oops, what did he do? Did he sit there and rationalize it and give 27 different reasons why he doesn't deserve the Musar? No, he accepted it upon himself, and therefore, v'lamavet lo netanani. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave me over to death.
So he did get punished.
He got punished. But he lived another day to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To not only serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to truly become Avdi, to become my servant. Yes, he got punished. Absolutely so.
Even though he did shuva.
But guess what? Sometimes that's one of the ways that you know to do tshuva.